Okay. Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, your morning show host, sometimes heard with Phil Huff, but Phil will not be joining us this week. Listeners, we have a great topic for this week because it's one I hear about again and again and again. Every summer, summertime, as summer goes into fall, it's about air quality in the Idaho Panhandle. And we have the perfect person to tell us what he knows about environmental air quality in the Panhandle, because we are joined today by Sean Sweetapple. And Sean is the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality, Regional Air Quality Manager. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to meet you and have an opportunity to learn more about air quality in the Panhandle. But before we jump into that, I'd like you to tell us just a bit about you, your background, how you came to be the air quality manager for the DEQ.
Okay. Actually, I've been in Idaho since 1995. My wife and I moved up here from Colorado. I'm actually originally a Pennsylvanian, so you'll have to forgive me. So we moved up here and we lived in Moscow for a number of years, and I actually ended up getting my master's degree in environmental science from the U of I and got on with DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, down in Idaho Falls. So started doing air quality monitoring and compliance work down there. And a couple of years later, we had an opportunity to move back up north here where we really enjoyed Moscow. So, but we ended up in Coeur d'Alene where some friends lived up here. So this is where we landed, and I became the air quality manager for this regional office about 5 years ago. So.
Great, that's great. And tell me just a very brief job description. What do you do as the regional air quality manager?
That is a good question. It varies from day to day, but I have four staff that I manage, and then I'm considered a working manager, so I'm also out there doing things. And what we do is we have so industry and large and businesses will have air quality permits where we basically restrict how much air pollution they're allowed to issue from whatever their industry is. So we do inspections against those on a certain schedule, and then we also do a lot of complaint response. So that leads into compliance and enforcement out there, educating people about what they are and are not allowed to do. And sometimes it goes to enforcement, but our agency is really big on trying to just get people to comply with the rules, and so we do a lot of education.
Yeah, good for you.
And then we have the monitors too. So we have air quality monitors. We have five stations up here in North Idaho. So,
Okay, so you monitor generally and then also the businesses that have limits on what they're allowed to emit. Okay, so your work, of course, is in air quality, but Idaho keeps track of more than just the air. There must be several other areas of basically environmental
Sure.
quality. What are they?
Yeah. Well, at the Department of Environmental Quality, I love acronyms, of course, being in government. So we're DEQ. Our mission is to protect human health and the air quality, air and land, the air, land, and water of Idaho. So that's our mission. So aside from the air quality section, we have a water section which covers surface water, groundwater, drinking water, wastewater, and we have a section that does the Lake Coeur d'Alene specifically. And then we also have a remediation section, which does solid waste and hazardous waste and emergency responses. And then we have an engineering section, which helps all of the other sections. They do a lot of the wastewater and drinking water plans and specs review. So whenever a water system goes in or a new development goes in, they review all the plans. So we do a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's a lot for a state with not that many state employees. It's good to hear you're
Right.
on that many topics.
Right. So we've got the five northern counties, and we have between 35 and 39 employees here, depending. We have some temporary folks that work in the summer doing different things.
Doesn't seem like enough people, but I suppose it never is.
Right. Yeah. That's what I tell people is we have five people to do all the air quality work in five counties, five very big counties. So,
That's a lot of area to cover, really is.
yeah. Yeah. Keeps us busy.
Yeah. Well, let's come back to air quality.
Sure.
I'm curious about how long the state and the country have been monitoring air quality. When did that start?
Sure. That all started with the Clean Air Act back in the early 70s. Went into effect in 1970, and it was had some major updates in 1977 and 1990. So they nationwide started monitoring kind of right away. Went with that. Idaho was a little bit behind, kind of in the early 80s. We started really monitoring in earnest up around here. And it shifted some because earlier on, particulate matter comes in different measurements. So the particles that are in the air. So earlier on, it was PM is particulate matter. So PM10 was what was thought to be a health risk, but it turns out that that's really not that bad. It's big enough that it gets caught in your respiratory system and you can cough it out. So it's come to find later on that PM 2.5, so 2.5 microns, which is extremely small, that's the real health risk. And as equipment and technology advanced, we were able to better measure that. So that's the health concern that we measure now mostly here is the particulates, the small particulates.
That's very interesting because I do see that on, when I try to look up air quality, 2.5 is mentioned, and I'm always wondering what is that? So we have one answer to the puzzle.
Yes. And microns, that's a millionth of a meter. So it's about,
Tiny.
yeah, a hair is about 30 microns. So we're measuring 2.5 microns.
Oh my goodness, that is tiny.
Yeah.
Next question then is, how are we doing? What is the trend in both the state and the nation? How is air quality doing?
Yeah. Well, since the Clean Air Act came into effect, it's been a trend of improvement. All of our measurements have been going down, so we're steadily improving air quality. It's in Idaho, we've always had good air quality in general, most areas. There have been a few hiccups along the way in different areas, but we've continued to improve. It's the particulates is, like I said, what we mostly measure for health up here, has kind of leveled out. If you want to say, because we've gotten to be at a really good point. So we run into issues with, of course, the wildfires and different things that happen. But in general, we're in pretty good shape.
Good.
Yeah.
So this leads to the question. I mean, we've talked about the types of air pollution or, air quality that you're monitoring. And is that kind of the same throughout the country, what you guys are monitoring, the businesses, fires, all that?
Sure. No, it varies across the nations. We're obviously, we're pretty rural here, so it pertains to the main pollutants you have in your area. So here, smoke and dust and ozone are our main things that we measure here in Idaho. Ozone is related to obviously industries and vehicles. That's one of the precursors to smog. Of course, up here in North Idaho, we don't have much of an issue with that. Spokane has a little bit of an issue, and once in a while it'll blow over here. But we actually quit monitoring for that a number of years ago because we were always so low that it didn't really it wasn't worth the effort, basically. So we just keep an eye on Spokane. Now in southern Idaho, they of course Boise measures for ozone and sulfur dioxide and carbon monoxide are some of the other what are called criteria pollutants that everybody measures across the country. And then over near the where they do the phosphate mining over in eastern Idaho, they measure for sulfur dioxide because that's kind of a byproduct of mining that. But so it and then across the country, like I said, the big cities, they measure for all of the criteria pollutants, which there are six. And so the trick is, what are the six? The six are sulfur dioxide, oxides of nitrogen, particulates, lead, and carbon monoxide. And I always forget one.
Smoke, dust, and ozone. We know
Yeah.
those three.
Those are the important ones to us up here. So, oh, and
That's right.
lead. Lead is the other one.
Oh, my.
The reason I forget lead is ever since we've done away with leaded gasoline, unless we have issues like up in the Silver Valley, we don't measure for lead anymore. That doing away with the leaded gasoline really did away with the problem that we were having.
That's
For
great
those of us who
news.
remember leaded gasoline anymore.
I have to say I do, and that was a big deal. I remember, but we don't even think about it anymore.
Yep,
Amazing.
it's not. Yep.
Yeah, so that's some good news. Well, you've told us that smoke, dust, and ozone are kind of the three big ones up in the panhandle. Are there, they must be seasonally variable. And we know smoke is. What about the other two?
Ozone is definitely variable or seasonal. Well, it's seasonally important anyway. It's in the summer when ozone and mixes with some other chemicals, volatile organic chemicals in the air, and gets sunlight. That's when it turns into smog and gets more dangerous. So most of the year it's not an issue here, and like I said, we're small enough that it isn't a real issue. But the smoke obviously varies. Spring and fall are kind of the big smoke times here because we do a lot of prescribed burning, which is a lot of the forestry slash burning happens either in the spring or fall. And then in the fall, of course, we get into the wildfire season. And then in the winter, it switches, and we have enough folks up here that still heat with wood that wood smoke turns into an issue over the winter.
Yeah, is it at a level where people with, compromised lungs need to think about that with the wood stoves?
Actually, it can get to that. It's we're in what we like to call complex terrain, which we have a lot of valleys. And those valleys are prone to getting inversions in the winter. So if there's a lot of folks using their wood stoves in a valley, it can get to the point where it will actually affect people.
Yeah, I think I've experienced that living in Sagal. I live in the valley, and there are some days where you kind of wonder what's going on with the air.
Yeah.
Get it. Well, I'm curious about how the level of our air quality has changed here in the Panhandle over the years, and I'm just going to mention that I have friends who've lived here for many, many, many years, and they, at least in their memory, don't remember fires being as smoky and, probably not as much wood smoke either with the lower populations. Tell us about how that's changed over the years.
As I said, I've been in Idaho since 95, and back in the day, they did a lot of field burning, bluegrass burning. Down around Moscow, there was quite a bit, and I know there was up here, even though I wasn't living up here. But that has shifted. There were issues with lawsuits and different things happened that the now field burning is pretty closely regulated by us. And over the years, people have just stopped growing bluegrass up here. It just wasn't economical for them. So we still have some quite a bit of field burning up in Boundary County, but that's about all that we do. There's 3 or 4,000 acres up there that get burned every year, and there's a few small fields down lower that happen. But so that was a big change. And also the forest fires have, I mean, that's just been a phenomenon across the West. We hit some kind of tipping point all of a sudden where they just started getting bigger and bigger every year. And now it's just over the past 5 years, definitely, and maybe leaning towards 10 years now, it's become almost a thing every summer that we're going to
Yeah.
get smoke. So
Yeah, but it is truly a problem of the entire West, not just our state. That's for
right. And even when we get smoke issues here, a lot of times it's not even from a fire that's around here.
That's so true. And I wanted to ask you a question about that. Those fires that come from 100 or hundreds of miles away, you'll see that smoke. It's way up in the air, but it must affect our air quality down on the ground too. Is it different though than a local fire?
And you hit on a couple different points there that are interesting. And even with a local fire, this can happen. So if the atmosphere can, in different conditions, can get stratified where there's different layers. And I don't know how much people know about it, but those layers move up and down and change, and there's the whole jet stream moving around. So there's a lot of variability. So sometimes when smoke comes up here from Oregon or California or Washington, it's up high enough that it'll make it a really hazy day and we get those spectacular sunsets, but it's not really making it to the ground. So it's not affecting anyone's health directly. It's just staying up high. And other times it'll get mixed in and it'll come down low, and then we actually get impacted. And it'll show on the monitors, and everybody's, is feeling it and smelling it, and so it kind of depends what the atmosphere is like when that happens.
Yeah, okay. So
And
it
then
does.
another, oh, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I say another thing that can happen is, say, the fire, the smoke's coming up here from California. Well, it's traveled far enough that there have been some changes to the composition of the smoke, so. Some things will chemically change, so a lot of the volatile organics will have volatilized or evaporated, so they're no longer there. And some things will have changed chemically, so it'll get up here, and we'll have the smoke and have the particulates, which particulates can last and travel a long ways. But so when it gets up here, it might not smell like a campfire anymore, but you have the smoke, you can see it.
Yeah.
So it has even changed in composition.
And is it, does it, does that change how dangerous it would be when you're breathing it, or not really?
It does a little bit because, I mean, if you're up close to the fire, or you're getting those smells from the organic chemicals, those things can get into your bloodstream a little easy. So, depending on how long your exposure and how close you are, different things it can impact. But we're finding that particulates are really something that is hard on folks. It was thought that it was mostly people with pre-existing like heart conditions or lung conditions that would have problems, but the research that's coming out now is saying that pretty much it affects everyone to some extent.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, who knows if we make up our symptoms or feelings in our minds, but when it's really smoky, I do feel like a little different. I think I do. Yeah.
It's like you're if you have any allergies, they go into hyperdrive.
Yeah. Now, on to something that is really interesting and confusing to me. I would like to talk with you about monitoring because, and we talked with this on, about this on the phone yesterday. I mean, you can go online, you can Google air quality Sandpoint, and there could be maybe 10 different places that'll offer you an air quality reading, and they can vary wildly. Tell us about this and how we can best understand it.
This is one of those parts of education I was talking about. So we're the agency that produces the majority of the data that gets used on these websites. Recently, in the past few years, there have been some private companies that have come out with basically personal air monitors, one of them being Purple Air, where you can get your own monitor and put it outside your house. So that's starting to come into the public too. But what happens is the people, a company will take our information and they'll use their own way of calculating things and put out what they call an AQI, but it's not really the official way we do the AQI. So it may vary quite a bit from what an actual AQI is, or air quality index.
So you're based, so what you're telling me is that really just going to Department of Idaho's Department of Air, DQ Air is the best.
There are three places I would say that
Okay.
you'll get the most accurate air quality. Obviously, you come to the source. If you come to our air quality website, which is www.deq.idaho.gov, spelled out, you can find our air quality there.
I have found that one. Yep.
Yes,
Need to
yes,
find
and
it.
that's pretty much real time
Okay.
information. That's usually we have a pretty good website there now after years of trying to make it better.
And I think you guys give a forecast too, don't you? You're one
We
of the few who
do.
will do that.
Yep. I just finished that up right before we got together here. We do that every weekday, and if there are issues like there were up in Boundary County, we come in on the weekends and update things too. So that's a daily thing. And then yes, we have the real-time maps. And then if you want to see, like you said, go and look and see what it is right now. There are two other websites that are both put out by EPA. One is called Air Now. That one's been around for a long time. They actually have a pretty nice setup map, and it doesn't do a forecast, but it does what they call a now cast. So it might not exactly match what's on our map because they're calculating it a little different way, but it's more related to specifically the time you're looking at it. So that, yeah, so that's a good one. And then the other one that they just recently came out a couple years ago because of the fires is called the Fire and Smoke Map. So if you Google Fire and Smoke Map, it'll come up, and it's an EPA product, and it's nationwide. And I like it. I go to it a lot, frankly, because it has not only the agency's monitors on there, but it has all of those like purple air monitors I was talking about, the private little ones. So there are literally hundreds of other little monitors out there. So it gives you a better idea because for North Idaho, we have, like I said, five stations or six sometimes for the whole area. But you put out these little private monitors, so you've got a lot more of the area covered.
Yes, that's
So that
great. I'll be going there.
gives you a better idea of what not only where it is at that point. If you don't happen to be in Sandpoint, you might have some more monitors that are up, towards Sagal or down towards Sagal or other areas where just people have them in there. So those.
Coverage.
So we got better coverage. And the other nice thing about that one too is it actually, when there are fires, once they get to a certain size, they actually show up on the map and they project where the smoke's going from that fire. So you can get it's not perfect, but it gives you an idea of where smoke is going and if you're in the smoke, where it came from. I don't know. It just there's more information there on that one. So
Well,
that one's my favorite, but
I can't wait to go there because it's a big topic in the fire season, and we're wondering, should we be hiking? Where's the smoke going to be coming from? All that. So this could really be useful. Fire and smoke map. I can't wait to
Fire and
try it.
smoke map. Yep.
Cool.
Yep. I know, like I said, we have a product, but I like theirs better.
Oh, well, they all sound like they could be useful in some ways, but for during fire season, I'm going to check that one out. Okay, let's just talk for a brief minute about the risk levels. When you go on the AQI, it'll be 0 to 50, 50 to like 100 or 150 or something, and then up from there. Do you feel those are reliable indicators of what you ought to be doing?
They are, I would say. And it comes out in different formats. There are some, we even have one that we send to the schools directly to give them. So when whatever color it is, it tells them, how long they might think about letting the kids be outside for recess, or maybe today's not a good day to do that and have it inside. Or, well, I mean, we get a lot of calls about football games and football practice and all that at this time of year. So,
Yeah.
and I think they're fairly accurate as far as at what levels most people and people who have asthma or heart conditions, they pay a lot of attention to it. I really find out about it when our site crashes, which
Oh, yeah.
occasionally happens. People will be calling in and asking where's this information? This is something I look at every day to kind of dictate, how much activity I should be doing. So it is something that really affects people.
Yeah, I think so. I have friends who do the same. For those, I have a friend who's similar to the people that are very interested in your site, who keeps track of the outdoor air quality, but also wants to do his best with indoor air quality. Do you have any tips for him?
Sure. We don't actually, well, let's see. We don't actually regulate indoor air quality. That's just something that the legislature didn't give us approval to do.
Yeah, hard to do.
But it makes a big difference. Especially when we're having smoke impacts or something. Because all houses are, built at different times, different standards. Some of them are what we call leaky and air infiltrates quicker. And when it's bad outside, sometimes it can even concentrate inside and be worse inside than it is outside. So it is something that you want to pay attention to. Things you can do is, of course, trying to keep the windows and doors closed. And if you have air conditioning, running your air conditioner is a good thing because it will filter the air. If you can set it to recirculate so it filters the air and keeps it inside the house, that works even a little bit better. There are a lot of different companies out now with air purifiers. The vast majority of those are very good. They can really help. Some of them are quite expensive. We did find And the EPA actually started advocating for these during smoke events is what's called a Corsi box. And I'm assuming Corsi is whoever invented this, but you take your average box fan that you stick in the window, you take one of those and you get five air quality filters like you'd put in your furnace, and you make a cube out of it with the fan being one side of the cube and the filters being the other five sides. Those are actually very effective at cleaning the air.
And it's probably pretty cost effective too.
Very, very cost effective. And if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you know, a little bit of painter's tape and a fan and some filters, and you can build something that might not look the coolest, but it will do the job, if you're struggling when you have smoke in the air.
Yeah, good. That's a great tip. That is a great tip. As we're coming to the end of this interview, I realize I didn't ask you a question that was a specific question asked by one of our listeners. So I'm going to step back just one step, if hope you'll
Sure.
bear with me. Just wondering about the effect of those man-made fires, such as we've covered wood smoke. We know that can have an effect on versions, but what about and also you've covered that the prairie, the grass fires are now mostly gone. But do the slash piles, do they have any significant impact on our air quality?
Slash piles are a really big issue. I mentioned prescribed burning, and I didn't really describe what that is earlier. But so when there's timber activity, they actually are prescribed or required to treat their slash, and that's because of a fire danger. If they just leave the slash out there, it actually can create a fire danger.
Oh, I see.
So they are actually required to take care of that. And one of the easiest ways to burn it under control, they do slash piles and they burn it under what should be good conditions, and it's not a fire hazard. It can be a smoke hazard though. So we do have the power from the legislature to regulate prescribed burning, but there's never been a strong set of rules. We have kind of this amorphous rules. We're actually working right now with the Department of Lands to come up with some better rules that we can jointly apply and do a better job of controlling and regulating that prescribed burning. Now, people also, there's mom and pop burners or mom and pop forestry folks that they just have, they do their own slash piles, and people do their own slash piles cleaning up the back 40, after the winter. And the smoke isn't any different. It's the same. Those are not super efficient fires. Like an out of a wood stove, you get a lot more a cleaner burn, so you get clean air or cleaner air coming out of the smoke. Whereas on if you just burn a pile of slash, it's not as hot. It's the air is not getting in there as well, so it's a dirtier smoke, if that makes any sense. So, and in that sense, it is a little bit worse for people because it's just
Yeah.
dirtier all around.
A little problematic. Well, I'm so happy to hear that you're working with the Department of Lands to try and formulate a good way to work with that because we sure noticed those up here. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, as we are coming to a wrap up, is there anything else we should be covering, or did we pretty much cover what is happening in Idaho's Department of Air Quality?
I think we hit pretty much quite the big
Yeah.
topics. We just have one thing you did mention. There's a lot of folks moving into the area. The West is really just growing exponentially out here. And we get a lot of new folks coming into the area, and it's as I talk about education, we try to educate everybody. So the people come out, they buy a new house that has a wood stove in it. They've never burned a wood stove before, so it's kind of new to them. Well, most people here think they've probably seen it all their lives. So it might not hurt to mention to your neighbor there might be a better way to do whatever they're doing, not only like burning their piles. Don't do it on a calm day or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we, like I said, we can't be everywhere all the time. We rely on folks calling us and complaints and things when we find things out. But it also, I would hope that neighbors will be neighborly and
Yeah. try to help
not
each other.
not just complain, maybe try to help each other out, you know.
I think that's a great suggestion, and it's a nice way to end this interview. I have learned so much this morning about
Well,
what's
all right.
happening with air quality and what affects it and what's important to look at and how to understand my AQI. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate it.
Certainly, certainly. And anytime anybody has questions, they are free to call us. We if we don't have the answer, we'll find it for you.
That's Idaho DEQ. Do you happen to have your number?
Our direct line here in Coeur d'Alene is 208 769-1422.
Very good. Well, I'm going to conclude a really interesting interview. This has been the KRFY Morning Show here with Julie Calamine, your morning show host. And I've been joined today by Sean Sweetapple, who is the Regional Air Quality Manager for the Department of Environmental Quality. That's a mouthful. Thank you so much, Sean. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Julie. You too.